Welcome to the Fastest 5 Minutes, presented by Kroll and Mooring. We are your co-hosts, David Robbins and Peter Eyre, bringing you a bi-weekly summary of significant government contracts legal and regulatory developments that no government contracts lawyer or executive should be without. It's been an active several weeks in government contracts, including the passage of the National Defense Authorization Act into law. And that's where we begin, with National Defense Authorization Act news. On August 13th, President Trump signed into law the John S. McCain Defense Authorization Act for fiscal year 2019. We've covered the developments in recent bullet points and client alerts, and we'll do so in even more summary fashion here. Please contact us for any more detail about any of these items, or frankly, anything you've heard about that's not covered. We'd be happy to discuss it with you. We'll begin with Section 866, which allows the Secretary of Defense or a military department secretary to authorize the use of a contractor's technical data even while the contractor and government are litigating before a Board of Contract Appeals or the United States Court of Federal Claims the extent of the government's rights in that technical data. To exercise this authority, the secretary need only provide notice to the contractor or the subcontractor and determine in writing that compelling mission readiness requirements will not permit awaiting the board's or the court's final decision. That bears some emphasis. Military department secretary can take intellectual property rights and use them pending a final determination by a court under the guise of compelling mission readiness requirements. This is one we're interested in, and we know industry is going to be watching very closely. Peter, would you like to do the next couple of sections?
Agree. Yeah, absolutely. So Section 880 encourages federal agencies to avoid, to the maximum extent practicable, the use of lowest price technically acceptable source selection criteria in procurements predominantly for the acquisition of knowledge-based professional services, personal protective equipment, and knowledge-based training or logistics services and contingency operations. So this is a trend that we've seen, not surprising, but certainly an area of focus for contractors. Section 875 removes the requirement for agencies to complete a DNF prior to using an OMB-approved government-wide acquisition contract. David, back to you.
Thank you. Moving on to Section 836, the statutory term commercial item is gone. It encompassed both products and services, but now it creates two new separately defined terms, commercial product and commercial service. This section of the NDAA also makes numerous other statutory changes to reflect the new terminology and to identify where statutory provisions apply to commercial products, commercial services, or both. Probably some helpful clarity going forward.
Agree. And obviously, while it comes out of the statute, there are going to have to be all sorts of regulations promulgated to figure out what this really means. But this is an area where the government and industry are going to have to watch carefully because these changes could be quite significant for many contractors. David, back to you.
Thanks. And Section 838 grants the General Services Administration additional authority to develop competitive procedures for procurements made through commercial e-commerce portals. For these procurements, the NDAA maintains the current micro-purchase threshold of 10,000, unlike earlier versions that had proposed increasing that threshold to 25 grand. Peter, back to you.
The next two sections we're going to talk about really involve further study and reporting so that Congress and other stakeholders can take actions in future years. Section 873 requires DoD to collect, analyze, and leverage data around use of other transaction agreements and to use that data to update policy and guidance. Section 822 requires DoD to study the frequency and effect of bid protests involving the same contract award or proposed award that have been filed both at GAO and the Court of Federal Claims, these so-called follow-on or second bite at the apple protests. Some interest there, and obviously this is step one, which is to do some additional study.
Section 881 permanently extends the authority provided in Section 806 of the 2011 NDAA regarding the management of supply chain risk and allows the Secretaries of Defense and the Services to exclude certain sources for the purpose of reducing supply chain risk and limiting the disclosure of information relating to the basis for such exclusions. This is a continued development of some of the exclusions we've seen in the Homeland Security arena and a continued development of the exclusionary authority across purchasing services and departments, and we'll be very interested to see how this develops. Moving on to Section 885, which requires DoD to develop a process and procedures for limiting foreign access to technology through contacts, grants, credas, or other transactions when such limitation is in the interest of national security. You see how those two are linked. This is a real hot button and emerging issue. And again, certainly one we are watching closely.
And then finally, just want to mention Section 852, which has to do with prompt payments and small business concerns. The goal is that payments would be made within 15 days of receiving an invoice. Primarily, this is focused on prime contractors making payments to small business concerns. Further regulations are going to be required here, but an emphasis coming out of Congress was the importance of getting cash to small businesses quickly. This is one that a lot of companies within industry had been pushing for. So that's really our focus on some of the key provisions. Some are immediately effective, but most will require regulations, and we'll be watching those closely. So lots to digest in the NDAA. And now, David, we're going to pivot to export control news.
Sure. And this is, I guess, NDAA related, right? Passed as part of the NDAA. There's an Export Control Reform Act, which provides a modern and permanent statutory authority for the U.S. Export Administration regulations, which control the export, re-export, and transfer of U.S. origin dual-use items. And as you might expect, given what we've covered previously, as a result of the effort to strengthen control over foreign investments in the United States, the law directs the Department of Commerce to establish an interagency process subject to public notice and comments for the identification of emerging and foundational technologies that are essential to the national security of the United States. And these will be subject or may be subject to certain restrictions about who can buy in, who can participate, all part of the focus that we see throughout the NDAA. Peter, back to you.
Thank you, David. So also part of the NDAA was the Foreign Investment Risk Review Modernization Act of 2018. That is significant changes to CFIUS. There is a lot packed into this, but just want to mention a few brief highlights. So the act extends CFIUS jurisdiction to include review of non-controlling other investments by foreign persons. It expressly provides CFIUS the ability to review the purchase or lease by a foreign person of certain real estate that's located within close proximity to a port or military installation or other sensitive facility, allows parties to submit declarations instead of a full joint voluntary notice, extends the review period in certain circumstances, and then finally, it introduces a filing fee for certain types of voluntary notices and grants CFIUS the authority to suspend a proposed or pending cover transaction that potentially pose a national security risk while the review is underway. So lots to talk about in the NDAA between export control and CFIUS and other changes to the acquisition process. Tracking that in a separate way, but related to the overall theme, was a report that came out or was made public in August 2018 by DOD. It was called Deliver Uncompromised. It's a report written by MITRE, and it calls for an increased focus on security in the supply chain. And the focus there on whether a contractor's overall approach to security would join cost, performance, and schedule as actual evaluation factors. So no change now, but certainly something that's getting a lot of attention as everyone really becomes much more focused on supply chain and supply chain security and management as a key factor the government's looking at. David, I'll turn it back to you to close out.
Sure, thank you very much. It's really interesting to see these frankly necessary proposed changes to tighten security, but you also see how much that will promulgate across the government contracts landscape, resulting in increased costs, increased risks, right? Just additional compliance burden on contractors. And that dovetails interestingly with the press towards other transaction authority and how that has fewer compliance obligations, fewer risks, and fewer things to do, and can enable rapid acquisition. So there is some tension. There's not a complete alignment there. And while all of this is going on, what Peter just talked about, what we talked about with the NDAA, the Defense Innovation Unit Experimental got a nice boost. They're no longer experimental. They're a real part of DoD procurement, and the continued emphasis on rapid acquisition is going to happen. So it'll be interesting to see how all of this aligns in the regulations that will be promulgated. We will close out, though, with False Claims Act news. Early this month, the Court of Appeals for the Second Circuit, in a matter of first impression, held that the False Claims Act's first to file bar, which prohibits an individual from bringing a False Claims Act suit when a related suit based on the same essential facts is already pending, cannot be cured by the filing of an amended complaint after the first filed related action is no longer pending. Just because one first filer gave up doesn't make the second filer a first filer. I guess that's what it means. That's all for this edition. We'll see you again in 2 weeks. In the meantime, if you need anything, I'm at 202-624-2627 and Peter, 202-624-2807. Thank you very much.
The Fastest 5 Minutes podcast is brought to you by Kroll & Mooring LLP. Subscribe on iTunes, and if you enjoy our show, please leave us a review. You can find more information at kroll.com/govconpodcast.